Blog Talk Radio.
In the face of great challenges this year, Americans showed incredible grit, strength, tenacity, and resolve. And together we achieved truly historic victories like nobody ever thought possible. To defeat the China virus, we launched the largest mobilization since World War II. We transformed our factories to build tens of thousands of ventilators and millions of masks virtually overnight. Nobody thought it could be done. We ignored the experts who demanded open borders, and we shut down travel from China and Europe to protect our citizens, and we built the wall. We pioneered groundbreaking new therapies and treatments, and we saved millions of American lives. Over and over again, we were told it would be impossible to deliver a vaccine by the end of the year. All of the experts said, absolutely unthinkable. Trump is exaggerating. It can't happen. And we did it long before the end of the year. They said it would take a medical miracle, and that's exactly what it is. Years from now, they'll be talking about it. They'll be talking about this great, great thing that we did with the vaccines. A truly unprecedented, amazing medical miracle. Normally, developing a vaccine takes up to 10 years. Thanks to Operation Warp Speed, we developed a vaccine in just 9 months. We've already begun a nationwide vaccination program, and we're sending the vaccine all over the world. The world will benefit, we'll benefit, and everybody's calling to thank me. Our most vulnerable citizens are already receiving the vaccine, and millions of doses are quickly being shipped all across our country. By early next year, the vaccine will be available to every American, and shortly thereafter, it will be delivered worldwide. We will end the pandemic once and for all. This is one of the most extraordinary scientific, industrial, and medical feats in history. Everybody has it as that. That's what they're marketed down as. And we can never let people forget where it came from and how it came. We're very proud to be honored. And all of the people that worked so hard on it, we have to be remembered for what's been done. I want to thank all of the workers, scientists, doctors, and members of the military who helped make Operation Warp Speed possible. Before the pandemic, we built the greatest economy in the history of the world. Now we are doing it again. We've actually built, if you think about it, two great economies, before and after. We passed $3 trillion in relief, the largest financial aid package in history. Through the Paycheck Protection Program, we saved or supported more than 51 million American jobs, and we're doing numbers now like nobody's ever seen before, including having the highest stock market in the history of the world. I froze student loan payments, stopped evictions, suspended payroll taxes. We have slashed the unemployment rate from 14.7% all the way down to 6.7%, and a lot of people thought that the 14.7 could be 32 or 40 or 45%. And now we're down to 6.7 and heading a lot lower. We made it dramatically better than experts predicted just a few months ago. Our economy is growing at the most rapid rate ever recorded, 33.4% last quarter, and much faster than the nations of Europe. Nobody can compete with us in terms of going down less and going up by far the fastest and the best. Whenever America is challenged, we always rise to the occasion. We are bringing critical medical manufacturing back home to America. We have secured our borders and paused immigration to protect American workers. We lowered drug prices for the first time in 51 years. And after years of endless foreign wars, we are signing historic peace deals in the Middle East. It's all ending in the Middle East. We have to hope it keeps going. It's so easy if you know what you're doing. In this season of joy, Americans have so much to be grateful for. We're all blessed to live in the greatest country ever to exist on the face of the earth, and we have made it greater than ever before. As long as we remain loyal to our nation, devoted to our citizens, and faithful to Almighty God, we know that the best is yet to come. God bless you, and God bless America.
Yes, indeed. God bless America. Well, it's good to be here with you guys. Welcome to A Conservative's Perspective. I'm James Bostic. It's Thursday. It's also New Year's Eve. It's almost over, people. It's almost over. Just a few scant little hours left, and then we'll see what 2021 has to offer. Nice to have you guys here with us. Before I get started, before I go any further, a special, extra special birthday shout out to my brother from another mother, my man Gary Benford, way up there in the frozen wasteland of Long Island. Gary turns remarkably youthful today, and I just want to take a moment to let you guys know that he is probably without a doubt one of the best radio talk show hosts I have ever had the experience of listening to. He has a show coming up on Monday, United Patriots Uprising. It's going to be 7 p.m. here on Patriot Nation Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio, and you're not going to want to miss it. It's going to be outstanding stuff, just as it always is. Happy birthday, Gary. We love you, bro. Straight up love you. I don't know how long this shows. We're scheduled for 120 minutes, but yeah, I don't know. I know that we're going to go at least 30 because I have a Jack Benny program scheduled in there. So I know we're going to at least, we'll go 30, maybe 45. It's awfully ambitious. We'll just have to see. You know, I thought I would come on here and, WikiLeaks turned loose a poopy pot full of emails and documents and stuff that they have concerning Hillary Clinton's emails. I got a hold of that today. A lot of it inane, but there are some things in it. And I haven't even gone, I've opened up three or four documents. That's it. And there are hundreds of them, thousands of pages. And we're going to act like it is a big deal. It's a big story. We're going to sit up straight. We're going to clutch at our pearls. And we're going to say, aha! This is the smokinest gun of all the smoking guns out there. We got them now, boy. It's on. It's not on. Hillary and Bill Clinton are going to die of consumption and avarice and gluttony. And they're going to die free. They're going to die from those things, and they're going to die free. They're not going to die in a prison cell. They're not going to die in exile. We're not going to see that fat bitch in handcuffs. We're not. It's just not going to happen. We're not going to get our Godfather Day. Nothing's going to happen to Jim Comey. Nothing's going to happen to Peter Strzok or Lisa Page. Nothing's going to happen to Jim Clapper. Nothing's going to happen to John. By the way, did you know that in 1976, John, that communist son of a bitch Brennan, voted for the Communist Party USA's candidate, Slobbering Gus. Oh, by God, he did. And I'm going to mention it every time I've got to say that cat's name. And I think so far I have. New Year's damn Eve. Not dead air, just thinking about stuff. Well, Gary, I don't know why not. I really don't know why not. I don't know why it hasn't happened till now, and I don't think anybody can answer that question either. Why the hell hasn't it happened? Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and their crime family have been guilty of a host of crimes for the last 30 years. Hadn't anyone done anything? They're probably guilty of everything up to and including homicide, but nothing happens. I don't know why. I wish I knew why. Because I want that Godfather Day, Gary. I want that Godfather Day, man. Let's talk about movies for a minute. I'm really old school when it comes to that. I like the amusement park shows, you know, the 3D adventure stuff, the thrill rides, all that's great. That's about really all it's worth seeing in movies nowadays. I don't like the message that many pictures put out. I don't like the actors. I don't think that there's anything particularly original in a lot of movies. I think it's all tried. I think it's all tired. I think it's all worn out. Every now and then you get a nugget, but most of the time you don't. And it would appear that the movies that I dig these days stray from reality considerably. In the movies that I dig, there are moms and dads. They live together. The kids are there with them. Everybody's fundamentally, well, fairly well adjusted. People love their country. They have a very righteous and strong sense of right and wrong. And better than any of those things, and all those things are good. All those things are good, solid things. But better than any of those things, the villain of the piece always gets his handed to him in the end. Now, I say that is detached from reality, and the reason I say that is, where will you see those things today? See, nowadays, they are the exception, whereas once upon a time, they were the rule. But the rules have changed. Don't look at me. I didn't change them. I don't like anything about any of this. But somebody changed the rules. Who did that? I'm pretty sure it wasn't you. I know it wasn't me. Cui bono, I think, is the Latin phrase. Cui bono. Who benefits? Who benefits from the rule changes? I'm not going to answer it. I'm just going to let you guys wrestle with that one yourself. New Year's Eve. I'm still here, not dead air, just thinking about stuff. Actually, this might not have been such a good idea. I had no idea I was going to be this pensive this evening. I thought it was going to be a little bit different. I don't know what the WikiLeaks thing holds. I'm of a mind to think, you know, that the worst stuff has already been released. You know, the most sensational, the most salacious, the most incriminating, the most damning things have already been released. I don't know. I guarantee you that there are thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of people right now as we speak, combing over every single one of those emails, going through every single one of those documents, no matter how many pages they are. And God bless those lifeless techno geeks for doing it, because hopefully it will give us a clearer picture. What will that mean? Well, if it's what we think, And if it is anywhere near the direction of all the things that we've speculated about concerning all these different issues in the last 4 or 5 years that have made the times we live in so interesting. I don't know what it'll mean. Well, obviously, you know, what we're going to find is we're going to get confirmation on a lot of things concerning Hillary Clinton's guilt, concerning Bill Clinton's guilt. But, you know, we already have a lot of damn confirmation as to their guilt. And what the hell's happened? Not a thing. The evidence that this election was stolen by the Democrats is overwhelming. It is beyond question. It is beyond any reasonable doubt. It is beyond any pale of imagination that we could imagine, consider, that we could dream of where it isn't. But it is. It was an orchestrated, coordinated, well mapped out plan of events that took place on election night to do what they did. You've heard Rudy Giuliani. You've heard Sidney Powell. You've heard all these people. These are some of the keenest legal minds in the country. And when they tell you this stuff, it's not like Brian Stelter telling you something. Okay? It's not like Jake Tapper. It's not like Jim Acosta. It's not like that other guy, Maddow. It's for real, and it actually happened. They buried the story not too long ago. Let me see if I can find that. Hopefully it's playing. A minute. There have been a series of hearings in the Georgia State Assembly concerning all this hacking, all this criminality that's gone on. I'm just going to go ahead and play this clip. The guy, now it's part of the runoff election, is what's going on right now, and you know they're gearing up for that. The guy has a Dominion voting machine, electronic voting machine, in the hearing. If you can't get it from the audio recording, I'll fill you in just a second, but check this out.
And the committee members, I respectfully request that you afford just a couple of minutes to Javon Pulitzer. He's just informed me of some very serious new evidence that he's just obtained from a Fulton County voting polling place within the last hour, and I think this committee needs to hear this.
Okay, we'll give him, can you do it just a couple of minutes, 2 minutes?
So as we all know, there's multiple teams working on this and our technology teams into it. And as was broke early in the week and last week about connected devices, at this very moment at a polling location in the county, not only do we now have access through the devices to the poll pad, the system, but we are in. And it's not supposed to have Wi-Fi, and that's not supposed to be able to happen. So we've documented now. It's communicating two ways in real time, meaning it's receiving data and sending data. Should never happen. Shouldn't be Wi-Fi. We've now documented it in real time so we can suck down the data. But that's going on right there where everybody's voting. And I just wanted to get it into the record.
Thank you. Mr. Jones,
is it a mobile precinct or is it a...
No,
it's a
standing building.
Okay.
That this should not happen.
Right.
Shouldn't happen in any way, but this is another one in real time. Won't disclose location because every location is checked, but we've now confirmed it 100%.
Right. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Senator Beach, did you... And now come to Sill Beach and Tillery. Did you have a question? Senator Tillery.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We've heard that there's three different types of machines, a scanner, a ballot market device, and a polling pad.
Right.
Do you know which one it is communicating, or can you tell that?
Right now, what you heard in the past was coming through the thermostat and stuff. This is now a more direct access way, and so this is coming through the polling pad device where they're checking everything. But now, you know, it only takes one device where you daisy chain them together and do it. The most important thing is that shouldn't be two-waying and even shouldn't be accessible or on. And it's there. Were there any other questions?
Could I ask him one question? What effect could somebody with, dishonest purposes, what could that person do given this access that's going on right now in Fulton County?
Statistically, what can be going on when you have an operation like this is as that data is being exchanged and somebody's in it, can actually siphon off that data, modify the data, and feed it right back into the system, or kind of do a pump and dump in real time, right? It's kind of like at home when we all used to have a dial-up and you're connected to the internet and doing what you're doing, and then all your kids get on and the bandwidth goes down and everybody clogs. It creates that kind of atmosphere where not only are you in the system, but then once you get into the machine, you can do stuff in real time, changing its intent. That's what it opens up.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ooh. Changing its intent. I'll be damned. We were assured that this could not happen. And yet, here we are.
And it's happening.
Now, we're going to hear about this, and the press, the media is trying to stifle it, and here it is. We're talking about it. They might hold it up for about a day or two, but once something like this gets legs, once it gets some traction, even with them trying to shut everything down, even with the gatekeepers trying to do what they do, they can't really do it. Because there's always going to be somebody out here like me, somebody out here like you, somebody out here like Gary or like El Guapo or Don Ewan and Donna Fiducia, somebody. And they're going to talk about it. And we're all going to talk about it. And our listeners, see, they're going to tell people. And they're going to talk about it. And that's what drives SOBs like Tapper and Acosta and Maddow and Stelter and Lamont and all those stooges so freaking crazy, because they can't control it. They can't hit our mute button. They can't adequately shut off the flow of information to the extent that they can control it the way they used to. See, once upon a time, that power was absolute in the media. Even when it moved from the big three and expanded into cable, it was still the same thing. But now, it's not so much. It's our internet too. And people like Nguyen and Donna Fiducia and people like Guapo and people like Gary Binford, they got something to say, and they can do shows. They have the wherewithal to produce a program. And that's what they did. And you see it more and more and more and more. And because of that, I think information becomes more and more easily disseminated, regardless what the Twitter people or the Facebook or the YouTubers or any of those guys, the social giant media, the social media giants, when they talk about this, don't let them fool you. Because they got their narrative. They've got their agenda. And those cats are piled up in bed with the media, with the Democrats, with the progressive Marxist left. Not dead air. That's probably the most I've said that in 30 minutes on a program. Maybe this wasn't such a good idea. Anyway, we're down. We'll take a little bit of a musical break and see what happens with that. You are listening, indeed, to Conservative Perspective here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. I'm James Bostic. We'll be back with more just a little bit.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm.
beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves, flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will. Making their way the only way they know how. That's just a little bit more than the law will allow.
That guy could thread a Singer sewing machine while it was still running. They said that, of course, Jerry Reed, Eastbound and Down. Welcome back. I'm not feeling any better. That song is pretty cool, though. It's a conservative's perspective. here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalk.com. We do it live here Tuesdays and Thursdays for the most part. And we have a recorded version of the show that goes out on the Mojo 50 Radio Network, mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, shame on you. I sit here and I say it every damn night I'm on. It's the very best in conservative and libertarian talk radio at mojo50.com. Please go out and check them out. I mean, it's outstanding programming, outstanding hosts, terrific stuff, terrific stuff. Well, have I mentioned it's New Year's Eve? I probably have. It's weird. I never had any idea the show was going to be this conflicted this evening. I really didn't. And I guess, you know, a lot of it is, it to me, personally, and I think probably to a lot of people because of our customs, our outlook as an American society, I think for the most part. And then there, you know, I'm not going to get, don't get all inclusive and all that crap on me. But what I'm trying to get at is when it comes to the new year, you know, everything's swept away. I'm getting ready to throw 2020 off the freight train of my life like it was a freight jumper and I was a Pacific Union Railway detective. And I'm going to bounce its ass, too. I can't wait to see it go. It's like I couldn't wait to see the year before that and the year before that go. And then comes the new year. It's all fresh. It's all new. Like a little baby, doesn't know anything. It's just there wiggling and looking at you. It's all yours, man. It's all yours. Just like I said in the tag, is it going to be the same old Lang Syne? Maybe. Maybe for a lot of folks, you know, I guess that's an individual calling. We're creatures of habit, you know, and there's always a resolution. It's like I said, we're sweeping out the old and in with the new. It's all going to be fresh. It's all going to be different. It's going to be better. You're going to be better. You're going to be smarter. You're going to work harder. You're going to try. And, you know, for 2021, perhaps more so than any other year. And I'm sure it has probably been this way throughout the span of time in terms of humanity. If anything changes at all, it has to be from within that individual. It has to start with that person. And I think we live in a time now where that kind of change is going to be really important because based on the things that have happened in the last 4 years in the United States, and I guess really throughout the world, but in the last 4 years, the things that have happened, I think, are going to force change. It's going to force change upon us because we don't like the change, man. You know, we're creatures of habit. Cracker Barrel. McDonald's. Taco Bell. Your favorite Mexican restaurant, your favorite Chinese restaurant. When I said those things, you probably thought immediately of what you ordered there. Because we all do. We're creatures of habit. And so, you know, change is tough. Change is tough for a lot of us. And I'm no exception. And how we do things. a few years ago. How can I say this? A few years ago, well, gosh, I guess we have to go back further than that. About 6 years ago, 7 years ago or so, my marriage went down the toilet, and it was my fault. It was self-inflicted. There was a lot of baggage on both sides, and but if we were looking at some kind of a liability split, I'm carrying the load. It's on me, and I'm not going to lie about it. I got to own it, man. So as a result of that, I wound up in a completely different environment than I had imagined myself ever being in. And, shit. Here's what happened. For 3 years, every Friday night, I went to the store. I bought a bottle of bourbon, a bag of ice, a 12-pack of seltzer water, and I drank. 3 years, every Friday night. I didn't drink Sunday night. I didn't drink Monday night. Not even in the summertime. I never drank on school night. I would come home on Fridays. I would have my stuff set up, and I would get the house squared away. I would feed the dog. I'd get the dishes and stuff done, so I wouldn't have to do anything Saturday morning. And at 5 o'clock, bang, it was on. That's 156 bottles of bourbon. 157 because I got one as a birthday present. I can't account for it. Don't know why it happened. It was right early. I'll tell you when it did start. It was a 4th of July weekend. And I think it was probably the first summer that I was separated. Pulled in a liquor store. I'm going to get a bottle of liquor I'm going to drink this weekend. I can't go anywhere. I can't afford to go anywhere. I had a car payment and insurance payment that was sucking up 2/3 of my monthly income. People, I was hurting, and I was struggling. And I did. And as the time went on, as week after week after week went on, I was just more and more hopeless. More and more, I saw no way out of anything, really. But anyway, the bottom line is, yeah, it went on for 3 years. But events culminated to where I was forced to make a change. I was driven with pitchforks and torches from this place of comfort. I don't know if it was comfort. This stagnant place where I was at, this emotionless grinding treadmill of it was like Groundhog Day without a happy ending, man. Okay, that's where I was at. It was like Groundhog Day, the movie with Bill Murray, his greatest movie. But it was without a happy ending. But that changed. Everything's different now. And I was forced to change. I had to examine a bunch of junk. And I guess maybe to a certain extent, there are probably things that I'm still unpacking and examining. But on the plus side, it was terrible. It was just terrible, man. It sucked. But now it's not that way so much anymore, and I'm happy about that. But what I'm getting at is, I didn't have any intentions of changing. All things being equal, hell, I might still be doing that. I might still be there doing that every Friday night. But all things weren't equal, and things did change, and I had to change, and I was forced to. I remember when I went a couple years ago, and got my got my 1 year anniversary chip at AA. Somebody asked me, you know, what'd you do? How did it happen? Let's quit drinking. I don't know. I mean, before I remember the first AA meeting I went to, I met this guy, and he said, "Are you working?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, here's the book. If you're working, it's $15. If you're not, don't worry about it." The big book, the AA. And we talked a little bit more, and he said, "You got a plan to quit drinking?" "Yeah. Yeah, I do." "What is it?" "Well, I'm not going to drink anymore." And beyond that, you know, that was my plan. that was the extent of my plan. That was my vision. And the weird thing about it is, by God, that's exactly what happened. I didn't. Last July, I think, July 7th or 8th, I can't really remember. The last time I drank was like a 4th of July. It was right around the 4th of July weekend. The last time, you know, my last getting hammered. And so it was sometime around there. So I'm guessing like July 7th or July 8th, 3.5 years ago. But you're going to have to change. And we, as a people here in America, we're going to have to change too. I mean, it's obvious. We can't continue to let these people in Washington, D.C., the swamp, Hydra, the Uniparty, because once they get in D.C., man, and they're there long enough, there's no difference between any of them. You think there's any difference between Nancy Pelosi and Chuck and Mitch McConnell? Really? Do you? Because there isn't. No. Now, we've got some good people in Washington. I don't know how long they'll last as good people. I really don't. Orrin Hatch once said that it was impossible to go to Washington, D.C. and return an honest man. He's probably right. Harry Truman said that it was impossible. It was impossible to get rich in politics if you were an honest man. You guys seen how much you guys checked out Mitch McConnell's bank lately? Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden. Now, admittedly, some of these guys were a little fat going into it, but look at how much they have made while they've been in. See, that's something that we're going to have to affect changing. But it's going to be us. Those guys aren't going to vote themselves pay cuts. They're not going to. The longer these cats are allowed to get away with this, you know, the worst it's going to be. The worst it's going to be. We got to change. Something's got to happen to make us change. Hopefully that change will be for the better. I'm not exactly sure where I land on that part of the board, but yeah, there's been, you know, there's changes. And it was, you know, like I said, 3 years is a terrible time. This is a terrible time. Maybe two. Maybe. During that whole time that I honestly think I could have probably, you know, that I could count on, that I did count on. And, you know, I would have been in sad shape. I really would have been in sad shape if it hadn't been for them. But we got to change. Okay? The 3 years of benders, we got to quit, man. We got to get a grip. And I'm not talking as me who had to quit and get a grip. I'm talking about us collectively as a nation. We got to quit playing around with these dudes. Antifa's already ratcheted back up. What did I tell you people on Tuesday? Antifa, BLM, they've been sharpening their long knives. They're already back at it. You didn't really think everybody's going to go away, right? No, they're not going to go away, man. That's something else that we have to change. Our political leaders are not going to change it. Our law enforcement officials, who are beholden and kowtow to our political leaders, aren't going to do a whole hell of a lot either. Back the blue? Yeah. Back me. Remember that protect and serve thing? Okay, well, you're coming up a little light on that. Reed and Malloy would be ashamed. Be back after this. That ended a little more abruptly than I thought it would. James Bostic here, Conservative Perspective on Patriot Nation Radio Network. Nice to be here with you. New Year's Eve, as promised. You know, New Year's Rose Bowl, football, lots of football going on. And we did a little OTR at Christmas time, which I always do. And I found a pretty decent New Year's episode of the Jack Benny program from 1990. 55 is the last year he was on the air before he went to television full time. Everybody's here. Phil Harris, Dennis Day, Rochester, Mary Livingston, and a couple other outstanding characters from Benny's Hall of Fame. Here it is, Jack Benny at the Rose Bowl.
The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
Quality of product is essential to continuing success.
Exhibit A, Lucky Strike.
Fine tobacco is what counts in a cigarette. And day in, day out, consistently, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
American.
Lucky Strike presents the man who knows. The tobacco auctioneer.
Mr. Lucian Purdom, veteran auctioneer of Springfield, Kentucky, has sold more than 240 million pounds of tobacco at auction. Recently, he said,
at every auction I've attended, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy fine quality tobacco. That fine, ripe smoking leaf that makes a smooth, mild smoke. Smoked Lucky's myself for 22 years.
Season after season, independent tobacco experts like Mr. Purdom can see the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco. Remember,
LSMFT, LSMFT.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, and fine tobacco means real, deep-down smoking enjoyment for you. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike.
Yes, next time you buy cigarettes, ask for Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw. The Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, as you all know, the new year was ushered in by one of the nation's gridiron classics played in the Rose Bowl before a record crowd of 93,000 people. This game always produces statistics that are mulled over by sports lovers for weeks to come. 475 yards gained by running, 314 yards by passing, resulting in 7 touchdowns and 7 conversions. Yes, even the star of our show has been stunned at the amazing figures compiled by this football classic.
93,000 people at $5 apiece. Gosh, what a game.
It certainly was, Jack. It seems that the Rose Bowl game gets more exciting every year.
You're not kidding. I can remember when it was only 80,000 people at $3 apiece. But I will say one thing, Don. You got to give the California Chamber of Commerce a lot of credit. They sure think fast.
What do you mean, Jack?
Well, during the half, they had a man climb up a ladder and paint a stem on the USC score so it would look like an orange. Gee, I can't get over 93,000 people. Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Hello, Don.
Hello, Mary. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yes, Mary, it's certainly good to have you back on the show.
Well, Jack, I hated to miss last Sunday's program, but I had that thing that's been going around, Virus X.
Yes, yes, I know.
Did you have a good doctor, Mary?
Oh, Don, I must tell you about him. He's a new doctor in Beverly Hills, and he's the handsomest man you ever saw.
Oh,
gee, cute. And he's a bachelor, too.
Really?
All the girls in my neighborhood came over and asked me to throw germs on them.
Oh, Mary, you fall for everybody. When you first got a fever, why didn't you send for my doctor?
I did, Jack, and a fine doctor you've got.
What?
Jack, how long has he been treating you?
Oh, for quite a while.
Well, I've got news for you. He's a horse doctor.
He is not a horse doctor.
He isn't, eh? When he got to my house, he threw a blanket over me and walked me around the room to cool me off.
What?
And when he started to braid my hair, I threw him out.
Oh, well, then that explains it. One day I called him up and told him my ankles hurt, and he sent over 4 bandages. Well, Mary, what about the new doctor you called? What did he say?
He told me I had Virus X and I shouldn't run tomorrow.
Oh, Mary, stop kidding, will you? You know, you should be happy that you're well again.
I am. And, Jack, I thought it was awfully nice of Alice Faye to take my place last Sunday.
It certainly was, Mary, and she was just marvelous on the show. She did a terrific job.
Well, she did, eh?
Yes, she did. And I was amazed how she could come in here at the last minute, pick up the script with no rehearsal, and give such a sensational performance.
Is it true that she bleaches her hair?
Mary! Now, stop being catty. There's no way to start the new year.
Oh, by the way, Jack, have you made any New Year's resolutions?
No, no, I haven't, Don.
Well, I have. I made a resolution to cut my food in half.
Well, good, good. I'm glad to hear that, Don. It isn't good manners to take a whole steak and stuff it in your mouth.
No, Jack, I'm serious about losing weight.
Really?
I've given up bread, butter, and potatoes.
Don, if you ever stop eating potatoes, Idaho will secede from the Union. And speaking of food, reminds me of eating. See, and speaking of eating, reminds me of my sponsor who makes it possible. And speaking of the sponsor, reminds me of the commercial. Now, I've got something swell this week for our quartet. We're the sportsmen, Don.
Well, Jack, you remember they all had very bad colds last week.
Yes.
Well, they're not over it yet, and right now they're home in bed.
But, Don, what are we going to do? We have to have a commercial.
Well, they thought of that, so they sent their wives over.
Their wives?
Yes, there they are, standing right over there.
Oh, yes. Hello, girls. Well, it's awfully nice of you ladies to come over and help us out. Have they got a number prepared, Don?
Oh, yes, Jack, it's quite unusual. I'm sure you'll like it.
Okay, girls, let's hear it.
Nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina in the morning.
Oh, in the morning.
There we go to Paco, and they ship the tide of Paco in the morning.
And easy.
Yes, because he knows tobacco, yes, indeed, because they told me.
I bet you loved it.
Quality of product is essential, and believe me, that's what told me.
He really means it.
If we had a last class of only a day, we'd make a wish, and here's what we say. A wish we were in Texas, where they have no viridexes in the morning.
Very nice, girls. Very nice. Thanks so much for helping us out.
Oh, you're welcome. And I want to thank you for sending your doctor over to take care of my husband.
Oh, how does your husband feel?
Well, I don't know. He just looks up at me with his big brown eyes and goes...
I guess Mary was right, huh? Well, goodbye, girls.
Goodbye.
Say, Don, didn't I see two of them at your house on New Year's Eve?
Yeah, Jack, we had a lot of fun, didn't we?
We certainly did.
And, Mary, I'm certainly glad that you're well enough to attend my New Year's Eve party.
Oh, so am I, Dan. I had such a good time. But I haven't had a chance to tell you what happened after Jack and I left your house.
Mary.
What happened, Mary? Tell me.
Well?
Mary, it's all over. Forget about it.
I will not.
Oh.
John, it was after midnight, and as you remember, we were still at your house having a wonderful time.
Gee, you know, Mary, this is the best New Year's Eve party I've ever been to.
Me too. But it's way past midnight. How about taking me home?
Okay, Mary, sure. Wait till I say goodbye. Goodbye, Don. It was a wonderful party.
Glad you enjoyed it. So long, Jack.
Goodbye, Mrs. Wilson.
Goodbye, Jack.
Now, let's see. Where's Phil?
You're standing on him.
How do you like that?
Well, it's Don's fault. He shouldn't let him drink so much.
What do you mean, Don's fault? Phil was this way when he got here.
He was not.
Mary, when Phil arrived, I opened the door and he fell in like a body in a murder mystery. Now, come on, let's go. Gee, Mary, isn't this a nice night out?
Well, it sure is.
What a beautiful sky. You know, the stars look so close and they seem to be different colors. Red, pink, blue, yellow.
Jack, that's confetti on your glasses.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, Mary, it was certainly a wonderful New Year's Eve party. Gee, we sure had a
lot... Pardon me, folks. Pardon me.
Huh?
Now, what do you think I ought to get my wife for Christmas?
Christmas? Mister, Christmas was a whole week ago. This is New Year's.
You mean it's already 1945?
It's 1948.
Oh, my goodness. I better get home.
Oh, well. Everybody celebrates in his own way. Say, Mary, did you notice at the party when the New Year came in, everybody got sentimental and they quieted down? Huh?
Well, what do you mean they got sentimental?
Well, they stopped singing and dancing.
Well, they had to. The stroke of 12, Petrilla came in and shut off the phonograph.
Oh, is that who it was? Well, here's your house, Mary.
Yeah.
Mary.
What is it, Jack?
Well, since this is the New Year, how about giving me a little kiss?
Oh, Jack, let's not go through that again. You always get so emotional.
I do not.
You do, too. The last time I kissed you, you ran home, threw yourself across the bed, and cried for an hour.
Well, that was my own fault. I had 2 glasses of cooking sherry. Anyway.
Well, good night, Jack, and Happy New Year.
Good night, Mary. Hey, wait a minute. How would you like to go to the Rose Bowl game?
Hey, that would be wonderful. But have you got tickets?
There's plenty of time. The game doesn't start till tomorrow afternoon.
Tomorrow? It's already 2 o'clock in the morning.
Ah, don't worry about it. I'll get the tickets. Come on, let's go in your house. I want to use your phone.
It's an old excuse, but I'll take a chance.
Oh, don't be silly. Let's see, who can I... Well, I'll be darned. There's the blanket. You weren't kidding about my doctor, were you? Now, who can I get tickets from? Oh, I know. I'll call Jeff Cravett, the USC coach.
The USC coach? But Jackie may be asleep.
What do you mean asleep? He hasn't slept since the Notre Dame game. Oh, I know who'll let me have his extra tickets if he has any.
Who?
Ronald Coleman.
Oh, Jack, you wouldn't call Mr. Coleman at this hour.
Why not? This is New Year's Eve. Hand me the phone. Hey, yada dee da dum da dum da dee da da dum yippee
da dee. Ronald Coleman residence. Sherwood the butler speaking.
Oh, Sherwood, this is Mr. Benny. May I speak to Mr. Coleman?
Mr. Coleman is asleep, sir.
Asleep already? Didn't he celebrate New Year's Eve?
Oh, yes. We had a rip-roaring time here till almost 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock? How could you celebrate the New Year that early?
We're on London time, you know.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, Sherwood, do you know if Mr. Coleman has any extra tickets to the Rose Bowl?
Oh, I'm sure he hasn't any.
Oh. Well, in that case, Sherwood, I'm sorry I woke you up, but I do want to take this opportunity to wish you a happy New Year and that 1948 will be a year that you and yours will enjoy not only health and happiness...
I say, old chap, would you mind saying goodbye? There's a draft blowing up my nightshirt.
Goodbye, Sherwood.
Goodbye.
Well, have any luck, Jack?
No, the Colemans didn't have any extra tickets, but they have cross ventilation.
What?
Don't worry, Mary. I'll get the tickets if I have... Hey, Mary, look out the window. Look who's passing. My pal, my buddy. Open the window, quick. Hey, Norman. Norman, have you got 2 extra tickets to the Rose Bowl game?
Well, Jack, it's way after 2:30. I'm going to bed.
Wait a minute, Mary. I just thought of something. For the Rose Bowl game, they always put about 6,000 tickets on public sale. All we have to do is go down and buy them at the box office.
But, Jack, there'll be a million people there.
All right, so look how early we'll be. I'll call Rochester, have him pick us up in my car, and take us out to Pasadena.
Do you think your car will make this hill, Jack?
Sure. Rochester, give it a little more gas.
Okay.
Well, we made it, Mary. You can hop in now.
Why don't you get rid of this thing and buy a new one?
Mary, how can you suggest such a thing? I couldn't get rid of this car. It's like an old friend. Been with me through thick and thin, through rain and shine, through joy and sorrow.
Through McKinley and Truman.
Yeah.
Seriously, Jack, maybe you can get a new car through Fred Allen. You know, he's changing sponsors this week, and he's going on the air for Ford.
Mary, I wouldn't ask Fred Allen a favor for anything. Why, if I were stranded on some foreign island, hungry, and Allen came to me with food, I'd rather starve than accept a favor from him.
How can you say that? A month ago, you sold him Christmas cards.
That's business. Hey, Rochester, turn to the right on Camden Drive. I know a shortcut to Pasadena.
Okay.
Gee, Mary, I hope we can get tickets. I wouldn't miss this game for anything in the world. It's gonna be...
Oh, Jack, look at that poor old man.
Where? Oh, yes. Look at that old man hobbling along on the sidewalk. That's a shame.
Why feel sorry for him? He's going faster than we are.
Never mind. Stop the car. Say, mister, would you like a lift?
Eh?
I said, would you like a lift? Where are you going?
Oh, I'm going to Pasadena, to the Rosie Bowl.
Oh, you going to see the game?
See it. I'm playing halfback for USC.
Oh, well, you don't have to be there till 2 o'clock. Drive on, Rochester. Say, Mary, the reason I'm so anxious to see this game, I don't know if I told you or not, but I bet on USC.
You did?
Yeah, did I get a sucker? He took Michigan and gave me 40 points. You know, that's a sure thing. Hey, Rochester, slow down. There's a parking lot. What does the sign say, Mary?
Park here for the Rose Bowl, $1.
What? A dollar? Why, of all the profiteering rackets, $1. That's outrageous. That's the most...
Boss, boss, that's your own house.
Oh, yes. Gee, 15 cars already. It's only 4 o'clock in the morning. Now, Rochester, let's get to Pasadena as fast as we can. I don't want to miss getting those Rose Bowl tickets.
Say, Jack, look. We left Phil at Don's house, and there he is walking toward us.
Well, I'll be darned. Rochester, stop the car. Hey, Phil! Phil!
Hiya, Jackson.
Phil, do you know what condition you were in when I left Don?
Yeah, Jackson, I felt awful. It's the first time I ever passed out after the first glass.
After the first glass? I'm going to say, what were you drinking?
Milk.
Milk?
Yeah, some wise guy turned out the lights and handed it to me.
But, Phil, milk is good for you when you're drinking. It neutralizes the alcohol. It makes you feel good the next morning.
Go on, Daddy. Now tell me about the birds and the bees.
Phil, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Ashamed of what? So I've been having a little fun for the last two nights.
Last two nights? Everybody else has a party on New Year's Eve, but you have to start your party the night before.
So what? Henry Wallace started his party the night before that. Oh, Harris, that nasty old milk age slowed you down a bit.
Oh, brother. Say, Phil, I don't think you should be walking around like this. Why don't you get in the car and let us drive you home?
Oh, no, I feel fine now. I'll get home all right. Hey, Jackson, when did you get this brand new car?
What?
You better help Min, Jack.
Yeah. Now, look, you don't have to help me. I'm going to walk home.
But, Phil, when you go out, doesn't Alice worry about you?
Oh, sure. That's why she sewed this note to my lapel.
Note? Let me see that.
What does it say, Mary?
To whom it may concern. If lost, remove ropes from coat pocket, stand them up in time to a lamppost.
Oh, well, then he's all right. So long, Phil. I'll be seeing you Sunday.
Okay, Happy New Year, Jackson.
Happy New Year. Now, hurry up, Rochester. I want to be sure and get those tickets. Gee, standing here so long. What a crowd.
Yeah. Here it is, almost noon, and we've been standing in this ticket line for 5 hours.
Yeah. And the line doesn't seem to... Hey, you back there, stop shoving. Wonder how long it'll be before we get... I said stop shoving! Yeah, I can't understand, Mary. People go to football games, it brings out the worst in them. Look, I warned you twice. And if you shove me once more, I'll drag you out of line and I'll...
I can't help it, mister. People are pushing me.
I don't care.
Jack, control yourself.
Well... Lucky for her, she's wearing glasses. Say, I'm getting kind of hungry.
Me too. I think there's a man selling hot dogs over there.
Where? Oh, yeah. Hey, mister, you with the hot dog.
Pickling the meat with the mustard on top. Pickling the meat with the pepper.
Why, it's Mr. Kitzel.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Happy New Year, Miss Livingston.
Hello, Mr. Kitzel. Say, this is a coincidence. We first met you selling hot dogs here at the Rose Bowl 2 years ago.
Yeah, now you're back here again.
I've been selling hot dogs for nigh on to 20 years.
20 years, eh? Well, how's the hot dog business?
Well, it's pretty good, but I don't relish it.
Relish?
I made a joke.
Yes, you did. Very good, too. Well, give me a couple of hot dogs.
Coming up.
Oh, by the way, there's a slight meat shortage. Where did you get your Frankfurters?
From a doctor in Beverly Hills.
Jack, that must be your horse doctor.
Mary, he means a butcher. Two Frankfurters, Mr. Kitzel.
You want the pickle in the middle and the mustard on top, or the mustard in the middle and Johnny Logan on top?
Mr. Kitzel, stop making jokes, and here's your money.
Thank you, Mr. Benny, and Happy New Year.
Same to you. Same to you. Gee, Mary, he's a cute guy.
Darn it, this line doesn't seem to move up at all.
Boy, I sure hope we can get tickets. I'm so anxious to see the games.
Hey, Bud.
Bud. Huh?
You say you want to get some tickets? You say you want to see the game? Tell you what I'm going to do.
What?
I got a pair of tickets smack on the 50-yard line. And you can have them for only 75 bucks.
Look, mister, you got a nerve. Charging $75 for a pair of football tickets.
Why, that ain't nothing. Why, there's a crook out in Beverly Hills charging a buck to park cars.
That's beside the point. You came here... Hey, you back there, I warned you 3 times to stop shoving. If you don't, I'll...
You what?
Gee, somebody must have taken her place.
I took her place. I'm her husband.
Well, congratulations. She's a lovely girl. Now, where's that wise guy that was trying to sell me those...
He's gone.
Oh, yes. You know, Mary, it's a shame. Dennis wanted to see this game today, but he's got a bad cold, too, and he had to stay in bed.
Gee, more people have been... Jack, move up. You're next at the ticket window.
Oh, yes.
All right, mister. How many tickets do you want?
How much are they?
$5.50.
Well.
Here's my money, Jack.
No, Mary. No. I'll pay for these.
I'll buy my own. I've still got money left from the May Company.
Well, okay.
One ticket, mister.
Here you are.
Give me a ticket right next to hers, will you?
Yeah, they're right together. And boy, are you too lucky. Those were the last tickets.
Come on, Mary. Come on. Let's get out of here. Boy, we are lucky. I had my heart set all year on seeing this game, and I'm going to see it now. Come on, Mary. We're over at Tunnel 16.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of chilly. I want to get a cup of coffee first. You want one, Mary?
No, I don't want to get mixed up in that crowd. I'll go ahead and hold our seat.
Okay. See you in a few minutes, Mary. Now, don't let him start the game without me. Let's see. Where can I get the coffee? Well, there's a stand over there. Gee, I can't wait. Boy, I was up all night, stood in line for 5 hours. It was worth it to get this ticket.
Hey, mister. Mister.
Huh?
How many tickets you got to the game?
One.
What'd you pay for it?
$5.50.
Want to sell it?
Oh, no. No, siree. Not me.
I'll give you $6 for it.
Are you crazy? I've been looking forward to this game all year. I've been up all night calling people, begging people for these tickets. I drove all the way down here from Beverly Hills in that traffic. I waited in line 5 hours to get this ticket.
$7?
It's guys like you that always try... How much?
$7.
$7?
Yep.
Mister, do me a favor, will you?
What?
There'll be a girl sitting next to you. Tell her you picked my pocket.
Okay. Here's your money.
Thanks. So long, mister. Gee, I hate to miss that game. But then again, with this money, I can... Wait a minute. What kind of a $5 bill did he give me? Look at the picture on it. Madman Munch. Hey, mister! Mister, come back! Come back here! Hey, mister, come back here! Come back!
We'll be back in just a minute. But first, quality of product is essential to continuing success. And Lucky Strike.
Lucky Strike, indeed. That was Jack Benny from the Mather data said that it was from 1955. But at the end of the show there, you said it was 1948. Anyway, it was a trip to the Rose Bowl with Jack. New Year's Eve traditions. We all got them, I guess. Cabbage rolls. Anybody have cabbage rolls as part of their New Year's tradition? And if you did you have a silver dollar cooked into one of them? Because that's how they used to do it here in West Virginia and in the coal camps. And cabbage rolls is kind of an Eastern European thing. Czechoslovakia, Poland, Sudetenland, in those areas. And Hungary, those guys, they all came here. Hungarians, Czechs, Poles, Slavs, they were all here. And that's what they, but in the coal camps, and we're going to go back about 100 years, my mom is 86, So this would have been back in her time with her parents and their parents. Take a silver dollar, which was not easy to come by. And in most families, it was usually a quarter or a half dollar. But if you were doing it the way you were supposed to, there was a silver half dollar rolled up in one of the cabbage rolls. And whoever got that particular cabbage roll, well, they were going to have good luck and prosperity the year through. And that was one that I can remember from around here. The all-night monster movies, did you guys have that in your area? A lot of places did, you know. That was another regional thing. New Year's Evil was what it was called here. And it was a station out of Charleston, West Virginia, WSAZ. And it would be people that worked at the station. And, you know, they'd have a collection of monster movies that they would put on starting at 11:30 and on New Year's Eve. And they would run, you know, the Godzilla pictures, Toho movies, and the really good ones would be late at night. Like, you know, the original Frankenstein, the original Wolfman, it wouldn't come on at like 2:30 in the morning or something. And you're just trying to stay up to get through the first two to get to that one. And maybe you made it, maybe you didn't. But the all-night monster movies, that was a big thing. I guess that's really the big three around here, football. The cabbage rolls, like I said, with the silver dollar, that's old school, though. And the New Year's monster movies. It's all changed, man. It's all changed. I bet they don't even do that anymore. I don't know. I don't have cable. I haven't seen them in years and years and years. But that used to be the thing. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up with this. You know, I've just been thinking about it. What has happened with the pandemic and everything that we've had to go through? Remember last year, this time Wuhan was here. What were you doing? What was the country doing? Wuhan been here for, you know, COVID had been here for about a month at this time last year. I just wonder how serious this is going to affect some people in terms of how they interact with others, how we as a society interact, how we as a nation socialize. And, you know, there's a whole lot of socialization goes on in bars and restaurants and parks and movie theaters and barber shops and little nail salons, and malt shops, roadside stands. A lot of it. Not dead air. I'm still here. I think this is the first year in many years where I have honestly thought to myself, after 2020, I have no idea what 2021 has in store. And in many ways, I think I'm looking at 2021 probably with more uncertainty than I have any other year in my life. Well, any other year in my adult life. I worry about a lot of things. My family, the people close to me, my friends, my kids at school. But we're Americans. And we've been dealt tougher blows. It's been a while, but we have. and we can get past this. We can get past this. We can get past the people who have exploited this. Just make no mistake, a lot of people have. We can get past this. We can get past the people who have exploited it. But it's not going to be easy, and it's going to be ours to do. These people are not going to relinquish this power. They're not going to suddenly have this road to Damascus moment where they see the error of their ways and say, you know what, man, I was wrong. My bad, baby. Here's the keys to all the power back. I'm sorry. You guys, just go on. You guys, no, just go on. I'm going to go on home. That's never going to happen. So those liberties, those responsibilities, those decisions that up until this point had been abrogated unto us, we're going to have to get them back. I don't know how we do that. I'm sure it's a multi-pronged approach. There are a lot of things we need to look at. We need to look at term limits. We need to look at a constitution convention of the states. We need to look at voting the bums out. We need to look at lobbyists. We need to look at everything that sends money to purchase influence in Washington, D.C. I don't know what else. And it's going to be an ugly job. And again, we've got to push out of our comfort zones. We've got to get out of where we're so complacent and just letting these guys do what they do. You know, as a matter of fact, it's going to take more than that. We're going to have to we're going to have to get mad. We're going to have to get mad.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel belt and radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Can we? Can we do that? Do we have the stones to do that? I think so. You know, you see it on YouTube here and there every now and then. These people are getting tired of what these cats are doing. The guy out in California, the restaurant owner, the health department came to shut him down. And he pulled his truck in behind the health department agent's car. Wouldn't let him leave. Wouldn't move his vehicle. Guy called the cops. He still wouldn't move his vehicle. Ran the cops off. He said, look, if I don't get a work, he doesn't get a work. That's going to have to happen more and more. That's the only way. I just wonder if there's enough of us with the stones to do it. That's all. I don't know. But, as they say in Gone with the Wind, tomorrow is another day. And that's the truth. Tomorrow is another day. And tomorrow, no matter what happens, the world is going to be just as round tomorrow as it is today. And it's going to keep on turning. Are we going to get out of this soon? Is something going to happen on January 6th where things change? And we see some type of return to normality? I hope so. Is it going to take longer? God, I hope not. I hope not. One way or another, the tale will be told. It has been a privilege to get to hang out with you guys on Tuesdays and Thursdays and talk about all the different things we do. One of the things, and I do this frequently, believe it or not, I do this frequently. When I tick off the things that I'm thankful for, when I'm counting my blessings, this program and the opportunity to get to do this program is one of them. Thank you all for the opportunity to share this stuff with you. I wish, on behalf of everyone here at Patriot Nation, Gary, Mark, Melissa, myself, all the people, we wish you the very happiest, healthiest, and most prosperous of all New Year's. God knows we're due for it. Happy New Year, one and all. We'll be back next Tuesday, taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. We'll be here Tuesdays and Thursdays live, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The recorded version, of course, on the Mojo 50 Radio Network, mojo50.com. If you're not listening, you should be. The very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio. Once again, thank you for the opportunity to spend time with you. It is something that I am grateful for beyond measure. And as I said before, God bless you. God bless America. We'll be taking a look at things as we do coming up next Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The first show of the new year, unless I do one tomorrow, which is entirely possible. I may do one tomorrow. Who knows? You guys take good care. Happy New Year.